Technorama episode 513, Planetary Disruption.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I heard my clone was over here in the media corner. Which way?
Over there, in the media corner.
Whoa.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, hey, thank you. Come on along. We got a lot of fun. The music's a little loud, but we'll turn it down.
Yeah, if you're too loud, you're too old. Wait, no.
Is the music in my head too loud for you?
Would somebody shut off that ringing in my head?
We have a whole cadre here, including, as always, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am fantastic. Actually, I'm still on my hangover from MST3K Live.
You have an MST3K hangover. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, I suspect. Yes?
We will.
Also joining us in the Binary Studio here in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, is
Keith Lane from TG Geeks.
And also
Ben Ragginton from TG Geeks.
And we are going to have fun. I'm sure we're going to make memories tonight.
Make memories.
Again?
Yeah, as we hijack. Because it's the only thing we know how to do.
Excuse me? At first I thought that was a zipper.
We're going to have fun tonight.
Excuse me. Record scratch.
Excuse me while I whip this thing out.
Oh, boy.
And so it begins. We have some feedback from our lovely listeners. Hang on. I'm going to find it right now.
Letters.
Letters.
Oh, we get letters. We get your letters.
L-E-T-T-E-R-S.
Reach right out and pull it out.
Very good.
That was good timing.
I was on the wrong screen.
hurry. We asked our lovely listeners last week and this afternoon.
You re-asked. Oh. Asked a second time. Yes.
What show is widely popular that you cannot stand?
We heard that question last week as we were watching it from home, and Keith and I simultaneously shouted out our answer.
Well, wait for it. Okay, in the Facebook comments, we have Rob Reel saying The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. He apparently doesn't like
Jim. Wow.
Yeah, he's harsh.
Man, two of the most popular.
That's right. Widely popular, said. He said, I tried watching both of them, but just couldn't get into them. We also have from Tom Joseph, Forged in Fire.
Don't know that one.
Never heard of that one. So maybe it's not even worth
it. So we all hate it.
Grumble. Harumph.
I didn't get a harumph out of you.
Harumph. Gene Mikeley says, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Wow, that show kind of went away, didn't it?
Well,
I kind of love that show, but it's one of those shows that I just drop in, watch some on like Hulu and stuff, and I just drop out.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that widely popular.
I never heard of it.
I have.
Brad Miller also says The Walking Dead. I kind of gave up on that show when Negan came along.
A lot of people did.
Joe Fiore is in my camp. He says, The Big Bang Theory, it's the opposite of funny. Please excuse the language. He includes a video in here that is not family friendly, so we won't play it. But suffice it to say, somebody was watching on TV, they made a joke, and he says, Why is that funny? You just strung a bunch of words together. It's not funny. Why are you laughing? And he's pretty agitated at the attempt of comedy on that show. Wait a minute. I can see.
Well, comedy is made up by stringing words together.
No, they strung a bunch of buzzwords together. Says, we're going to play on the battlefield of this show and that movie. And it's like, just was lame. Anyway.
Okay.
Craig, what is your answer?
Alf. No, I'm just kidding. I love Alf.
Joe will kill you for that.
Yeah, yeah. Joe will have a... Oh, yeah, he'll... Yeah,
he'll drive just, down there and kill you.
You just gave Joe a stroke by saying that.
He's going to bring a gun to Dragon Con, and it's not going to be peace bonded.
Yeah, I don't know. I had trouble thinking of something I just hated that was so popular. I still kind of watch The Walking Dead, although if it went away tomorrow, I wouldn't shed a tear.
If it went away tomorrow, we've never seen an episode.
So. I have. I've watched it.
See, I don't know. I seriously had trouble pulling up one. How about you
so
guys?
In other words, you don't have an answer.
No, I don't have an answer. I pass.
You had trouble putting one over on you.
Yeah, right.
Well, we have a show.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Same show. And it is widely popular, at least according to CBS.
According to CBS, yes.
It is their number one show. No.
Star Trek.
No, wait, that's not on yet.
Nope.
CBS's number one show. I haven't watched
every
CBS
time they
year.
Run an ad for it, they call it the new number one show.
The new hit number one.
Yeah. Oh, is that like
Scorpion?
Scorpion.
Oh.
All right.
Is the most inane show.
It's awful.
It is awful.
Well, I think I remember when it started off, I saw people panning it because none of the technical details were even
that. Well, the science in it was terrible. I mean, it was ridiculous.
The problem is that the science is horrible and the technical details are horrible, and they pretend like it's... If they were making fun of themselves or they were...
Yeah.
But
they're not. They're trying to pass it off as cutting-edge thinking.
Yeah, and it's not even remotely...
Then I tried to watch another episode like months later to see if maybe it got better, and it only got worse. So really? I can't see. I don't know what to say about why that show is supposed to be CBS's number one hit, but it keeps getting renewed.
I was going to also throw in Archer.
Archer?
Haven't watched it.
I've seen bits and pieces. I don't get it.
I like Archer.
It's like an adult cartoon, but...
Very adult.
Yeah. So I'm a child of the 60s and 70s and 80s, if you want to call it that, and watched a lot of cartoons, and it doesn't resonate with me, and I just don't like it. And I guess that's part of the problem, is when people really hype something up and they go, oh, it's so funny, you got to watch this. And then you come in with high expectations and go, this isn't
what
funny.
What in the heck is this?
Yeah. Apparently we have a different level of humor in this thing.
Well, it's like some people love Big Bang Theory and a lot of people don't.
Yeah. Yep. It's a sitcom to me. It has canned laughter, and that turns me off right away.
No, it doesn't.
See?
No, it doesn't?
No.
It has a live audience?
It has a live audience. Because
with signs that say a laugh?
No, because we've actually been at the set.
Really?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a big audience.
For a very big audience. It is insanely popular and impossible to get into.
It's every bit as big as the audience was for Frasier when it was in its peak.
And same with Friends when it was at its peak.
Now, see, for me,
in fact, I think it's on the same set as opposite.
It might be
like, for me, it's like, what shows did you like that were widely, it was the other way around, So I don't know. I still can't think of something.
Oh, you would like, what do you mean, like guilty pleasures?
Everything.
I could find something good and everything. What's that?
You mean like a guilty pleasure?
Hackers.
Yeah. Actually, Hackers, not technical. I mean, technically accurate at all. And borderline, maybe not goofy, but, I like
it. If they don't
like,
take themselves like so seriously, that was my problem, is they took themselves too seriously.
Oh, on Scorpion?
On Scorpion.
Oh, yeah.
If they didn't take themselves so seriously... It might have worked. It might have worked.
Uh-oh.
Woohoo! That sound means there's...
Oh, wait.
It's time for the D20s. Would you get a new D20?
Okay, Google, roll a 20-sided die.
Here it comes.
You got a 13.
I got a 13.
Okay.
Two.
Sorry, I couldn't get my dice out of my bag.
61 or...
16
or 19. 91 or
16. Oh, Keith rolls high.
Really high.
91.
You got 91. So,
Keith, Chuck, Craig, Ben.
And me. So, Ben. Keith, Chuck,
I got a,
Craig,
I got a 15.
Me.
We're trying to go around the room.
Well, it does. I mean, if you're looking at Craig on that monitor, then it works.
Yeah.
I'm after Keith, right?
No, you're after Chuck.
It goes, dit, dit,
Wait a minute.
Yeah. You're after what? The you're after the dit.
Okay.
Okay.
Duh.
After the
okay. Well, just yell at me when it's my turn.
You're after me.
Okay, I'm after
on you. On this
okay.
day.
Yeah, well, music first, maestro. On this day in history for August 16, 2017, this is the 228th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 137 days remaining in 2017. Take it, Keith!
It was on this day in 1858 that U.S. President James Buchanan inaugurates the new transatlantic telegraph cable by exchanging greetings with Queen Victoria of the United Kingdom. However, a weak signal forces a shutdown of the service in a few weeks.
Can you hear me now?
101 years ago today, the Migratory Bird Treaty between Canada and the United States is signed.
You chose that.
Okay, no witty banner between those two. Okay,
no, I did not choose that because I don't write them anymore. It's all computer generated. It's random.
As we saw in the little documentary. Yes.
Right. Yes. See?
Yeah.
His little picker that he uses.
On August 16th, 1927, the Dole Air Race begins from Oakland, California to Honolulu, Hawaii, during which 6 out of 8 participants' planes crashed or disappeared.
Wow. Not a good race.
No.
Yikes.
No,
it's
not the way I expected it to turn
out. Did you sign the waiver?
Exactly.
And it was also this date in 1930 that the first color sound cartoon called Fiddlesticks is made by UBI Works.
Very good.
Fiddlesticks. Fiddlesticks. Also today in 1944, first flight of the Junkers Ju 287.
You guys got to get your German down. Junkers you.
Junkers you.
Ja. More Discovery Channel for this man, please.
Yeah, I like Junkers Ju better.
That same date in 1954, the first issue of Sports Illustrated is published, not the swimsuited issue.
Okay, no winter banner after that one. And it was also on this date in 1960 that Joseph Kittinger was parachutes from a balloon over New Mexico at 102,800 nice. Feet, setting 3 records that held until 2012. High altitude jump, free fall, and the highest speed by a human without an aircraft.
I forgot the parachute!
And also on August 16th, 1962, Pete Best is discharged from the Beatles to be replaced days later by Ringo Starr.
That was a late sound.
Did he hold on to his stock options? He could be rich.
Yeah.
Nope.
It was 28 years ago today that a solar flare from the sun creates a geomagnetic storm. Geometric storm that affects microchips, leading to a halt of all trading on Toronto's stock market.
Wow.
Where's Magneto when you need him? Yeah. Happy birthday goes out in this date to Italian cartographer Vincenzo Coronelli, born this date in 1650. It rhymes.
And born August 16th, 1744, French astronomer Pierre Méquillon.
Okay.
We're going to go with that.
And Arthur Cayley, English mathematician, was born on the same date in 1821.
French physicist Gabriel Lippmann. I assume that's the way you say it. That's how we're going to say it today.
We didn't choke on your tongue while saying it, so it couldn't have been right.
Born on this date in 1845. Good news is he won't care.
That's news, everyone.
That's the old Steve Martin thing. What happened? He spoke French. T.E. right. Lawrence, British archaeologist, military officer, and diplomat, was born on that same date in 1888.
American biochemist Wendell Meredith Stanley was born 113 years ago today.
And Edie Gourmet, the American pop singer, chanteuse, comic actress, was born 89 years ago today.
Wow. Actor, scriptwriter Robert Culp, born on this date in 1930.
Stuart Roosa, the American astronaut, was born 84 years ago today.
And American actress Julie Newmar is born 84 years ago today.
And she's still statuesque. Also turning 64 is American actress and talk show host Kathy Lee Gifford.
Also born on this day in 1958, American singer, songwriter, and actress Madonna.
What's her last name?
Entertainer.
Madonna. Yeah, entertainer.
That's what it says here.
And turning 55, today is American actor Steve Carell.
Carell. Good going.
This thing's in my way.
Oh, is that the excuse I was going with?
Let's just
is in your way, so it's affecting where I place the syllable.
Steve Carell. Listener birthdays through Dragon Con, because we're not going to be here for a few weeks. August 17th, Clive Jevons, Bummenheim, German, Kevin, Susie the Geek's son in training. I think we have a wiki problem here. We have line break issues.
Yeah, no.
The 19th is Brian Letecki, Matt Ryder on the 19th. Jedi Kez, a.k.a. Brian from Winnipeg, is on the 20th. 22nd has three birthdays.
What about Zoidberg?
In 1967, Kyle Slingo, an alchemy dragon. Kira Fiore, daughter of Crazy Joe, is on the 24th. David Grizzly Smith from Grizzly Growls podcast on the 25th. 27th is Chuck's forgotten iPod. What? I haven't forgotten.
We never forget.
Maximilian Bjornstein from Stockholm, Sweden on the 30th. 31st is Tim Downing. Into September, we have David Klumpkin on the 1st. 2nd is Scott Tyler. Ben Vaughn on the 5th. Susie Murph on the 6th. And there you are. That's the way it is on this day in history for August 16th, 2017. Boom!
I'm actually shocked that we timed that. So
I have this.
I have a way of wrapping up the birthdays fast.
I didn't know that Kira was.
Mic drop. Boom.
I didn't know Kira was going to be on here, or I'd have played this.
That's Kira.
A voicemail from the past.
Yep. That was given to us by Joe.
Outstanding.
It was actually. He was leaving a voicemail or was getting ready to leave a voicemail, yeah. And she was in the background crying, and then he called back later and gave the real voicemail.
Yeah, he gave us a better one.
How long ago was that?
Oh, God.
It was
2 years ago. Two years ago, maybe.
Yeah, a year ago.
A year ago?
Maybe.
I have some sound bites of my kids when they were little. They would chew on the microphone.
It's got to be a year ago.
Yeah.
If you want to get on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we'd love to give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of the year. As I mentioned, we will not be around next weekend because Don and I will be in Wyoming observing the solar eclipse from the Path of Totality.
And so pray for good weather.
I will.
Yes.
When we were at Flagstaff last night, the astronomer who was giving the guest lecture said that
he's been to four eclipses.
And we've seen only two.
Oh, no.
Because the other two, the weather's been bad.
Well, if we drive real fast, maybe we can drive out of whatever bad weather it is before it gets to, say, Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Hopefully you don't run out of gas.
It's not going to Georgia. It's actually coming over South Carolina, right where I'm at. So I get to observe it without having to go anywhere.
You're not in the Path of Totality, though.
I will. When I go to Columbia, I will be.
Aha. See, you do have to go somewhere.
An hour and a half down the road. But I have family down there, so I get to stand around in their backyard rather than paying somebody $50 for a parking spot.
That's what we're doing at our in-laws as well.
Yeah, so what's the weather forecast for South Carolina, then?
I was just thinking about that.
There's a hurricane coming.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that time of year.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. Everybody's favorite time of the year. All right. So, well, I don't know because it's still far out. So I'll find out.
Okay. We have...
Oh, great news, everyone.
We have double great news. My daughter, Julie, was first... She was quoted in Air and Space magazine.
Wow.
Cool.
This is pretty darn cool. We are very proud of
this. She says, I love my dad. Aw.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Isn't that sweet?
He messed me up.
Yeah. Which PDF is that?
I'm here today.
This is from the, which issue is that? Doesn't say what month on the cover. August 2017. August. There it is. So they were interviewing people about the different projects they were working on, and in here on page 2, where is it? I have to scroll down a little bit.
Julie Tomasi.
Right?
I see it.
It's right on
where my finger is.
Right, where he's on
down,
a different
monitor. Down. Keep going.
The other half of this page.
There it is.
Okay. So I'll read a little bit of prelude so you know where we're going. This is the spacecraft that will one day land humans on Mars will be made of material that has not yet been invented. Ditto for the rocket that sends them there. But At the end of a $15 million five-year NASA project set to begin next month, an advanced high-performance composite will be invented, and it may be the very material used to build those spacecraft. He goes on to discuss a little bit about that, and Julie comes up in just a little bit. The other half of the task is making the materials to test them to see if the computer designs worked well, says Odegaard, one of the people involved in this project. Quote, we're trying to get the most accurate, efficient computer program to design and evaluate the material before trying it in the lab. But it's a parallel, not a serial effort.
By the way, Odegaard is Thor's brother, other brother.
So. Right. Oh, yeah. There we go.
No, that's next door to Isengard.
Odegaard.
Odegaard. It's a smelly place.
The Odegaard. Yeah. And then there's the Odegaard.
When you have too much sauerkraut, your Asgard has Odegaard. Anyway, wow.
Asgard, Isengard,
no
Odegaard.
Respect for this article. Anyway.
Sorry, Julie.
The experimental folks are waiting for us to give them the computer design material so they can fabricate and test it. But while they're waiting for that, they're busy developing their test methods. Julie Tomasi loves it when the materials in the lab behave the way the computer models predict. Tomasi, also pursuing a PhD at Michigan Tech, has tested the mechanical, electrical, and thermal properties of epoxy with various embedded fillers such as graphene, a carbon particle lattice. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
It is cool.
It is really cool.
All right. The other.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes.
Down below.
Yes.
That's not her.
No, I thought so at first too. That is not her picture. It was a very close.
No. It says that he's not involved with this, is he? Because it says Will and Matt will make computer models.
No, different Will. Will.
He's not that smart.
You're talking about. Wait, no, there's you're hinting at the next big news. Julie and her boyfriend Will, which is spelled with one L, are now engaged to be married.
Yay!
So.
Oh my God!
Wrong sound. Sorry.
That's you needed to scratch.
You played that on purpose.
So she put her and his personalities in the computer and see if their materials match.
He's a mechanical engineer. Yeah, as long as there's no epoxy involved, we're good.
Yeah. See if their computer models work as they predicted. That's cool. So, congratulations to them.
Yep. My little podcaster's all grown up.
Yeah.
Other news we have. That first story hit too close to home.
Yeah, I know those materials bring a tear to
Dr.
your eye.
Dr. Julie.
I'm going to hand this one off to Ben.
Oh, okay. Well, wake things up. Here on Earth become increasingly more theater of the absurd.
What?
NASA's Cassini spacecraft whizzes millions of miles away, unaffected by our intrahuman squabbling. After 20 years of heading toward and exploring the Saturn system, on September 15th, Cassini will plunge itself into the planet's atmosphere, broadcasting the whole thing like a tearfully beautiful sequel to The Iron Giant.
Cassini!
The Intrepid orbiter begins its final five grand finale passes around Saturn on August 14th, making the beginning of the end much more real. Still, there's a lot to love about these last dives between the gas giant and its rings, according to NASA. Cassini will be catching whiffs of Saturn's atmosphere, breezing between 1,010 and 1,060 miles above Saturn's cloud tops at its closest. At these altitudes, the atmosphere is expected to be so dense that the probe will have to use its thrusters to maintain stability. Depending on how much Saturnian air Cassini encounters, NASA may choose to nudge the spacecraft a bit further down or have it raise its orbit for safety. As it is dutifully done in the past, Cassini will study Saturn's auroras and the hexagonal vortex at Saturn's north pole, this time with unprecedented closeness and detail. As it makes these five dips into Saturn, followed by its final plunge, Cassini will become the first Saturn atmospheric probe. Ooh, Linda Splicker.
That sounded just like Linda.
Well, yeah. Okay, no jokes. I was about to make a really, really bad joke, but I won't do it. She's the Cassini project scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL, and said in a press release, It's long been a goal in planetary exploration to send a dedicated probe into the atmosphere of Saturn, and we're laying the groundwork for future exploration with its first foray. So, although Cassini's time is coming to a close, yeah, that probe's been around forever.
It's been a few years.
It has a lot more to do before its lights go out for good. For one thing, the orbiter could still help us solve the mystery of how long a Saturnian day really is. There's no better spacecraft to tackle this and so many other lingering questions than the ones who's been zooming around Saturn for over a decade. Still, we'll miss our favorite hunk of metal once it's gone.
I don't know. My favorite hunk of metal is Curiosity, but that's a different issue.
Yeah.
We'll send it off.
You're sending it off with a harp.
I thought we were having a dream scene or something.
Harps and halos optional.
You know, I remember when.
Yeah.
What's your cue, man? All right,
we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the Hacks and Strange Stories. Apparently that might be the funny part of the show. And remember,
apparently
hopefully
the funnier part of the show.
We'll be right back. Stick with us. There was a story about a security robot that went rogue and fell into a pond. But what was the cause? The property is using a replacement robot at the moment, Jerry.
Jerry replaced Steve. Hey, Jerry was gunning for Steve's job. I would be looking to Jerry.
Jerry pushed him.
He did it. This is my beat. Get off, Steve.
Steve is expected to make a recovery once he gets repairs. I can't believe we're reading this.
Basically, they have a freaking rape whistle.
Video Who's going to rape a robot?
Well, Jerry is really after Steve's job. Poor Steve.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong, Ensign Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Grab the punch cards, Craig. We're headed to Dragon Con. We need more IDs.
I got them. They're on my shelf right back behind me.
You have punch cards?
Yes, I stole them from you.
That's where they went.
That's where they went.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I think it was more like, here, hold these. And then I kind of kept them.
Yeah, hold my beer and watch
hold
this.
Hold my punch cards and watch this.
That's right.
He's like, hold my punch cards and watch this.
Looking for those. All right, into the Hacks of Strange Stories. We have, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh boy.
Oh dear.
What this thing is freaky.
It is. All right. The,
oh, dear
we're
Lord.
We're going to give this to Keith.
Oh, Lord. I can't look at it.
Scroll. It's, no, okay,
scroll.
No, that's weird.
Scroll.
That's really weird. Everywhere I turn, its eyes follow me.
Read on, brave one.
By today's standards, the original Teddy Ruxpin, essentially a stuffed toy bear wrapped around a cassette player, borders on archaic. But in 1985, few toys incorporated any kind of technology, and the bear felt as futuristic to a 7-year-old version of me, yeah, as the original iPhone did a decade ago.
Yeah, but have Teddy Ruxpin play Kiss and watch it just rock out.
Watch the eyes turn red and start
jamming
out. Yeah,
it just shreds itself. Whoa! Oh, my God!
Throw in some AC/DC. Yeah, the eyes
it's
on
demonic.
This, it is exactly my first thought. We've got an animated GIF going on the monitor. My first thought was, I really want to hack this thing and put in the Hypnotoad's eyes.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd be okay with that, but was it like red rum?
Yeah. What if the eyes like turn red and like flames?
That's exactly it. All the robot movies, they're okay as long as they're blue. Once they turn red, run.
When the parents walk out of the room, its eyes change.
Yeah, then it turns
now
into a
slasher
film.
Now you're
going
to go get a knife from the kitchen. And
it's kind of like, oops.
Right.
Anyway, it was one of the first toys that helped spark my... this person's lifelong obsession.
Not with, yours.
Not me. I'm reading somebody else's article.
It's in the third person now.
Yeah, just which is why
this person
is disappointed. This person that wrote the article is disappointed that the Teddy Ruxpin, which mostly just mirrors the original's capabilities. The new Teddy Ruxpin. Yes, the new. Forgot that word. Mirrors the original's capabilities, doesn't feel revolutionary in any way.
You could have stuck a freaking Alexa in there.
Yeah.
And put some intelligence behind it.
Hey, when you say, hey, Teddy.
Oops. Oh, my word.
Oh, dear.
No, that's all kinds of wrong.
Finger in the mouth.
What? With glowing eyes at the same time.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, Teddy's so misunderstood.
Oh, the Christmas Teddy.
The Christmas Teddy, yeah. Thanks to the abolishment of FCC guidelines limiting advertising in children's programming, the 80s cartoon that many of us fondly remember, or fondly remember.
Well, with a finger in the mouth. Maybe that's the appropriate word here.
Yeah. In reality, nothing more than 22-minute-long commercials that gave birth to a popular toy. Lines like Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Voltron, and Thundercats. They were so effective that 80s nostalgia has become a valuable marketing tool in the toy industry, as is evident by all the brands received as collectible exclusive at this year's San Diego Comic-Con.
I didn't see that at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah. You were busy working.
We were busy working.
Well, we were in the dealer's room, but I didn't see any of that.
We didn't see a big dealer's room.
I know. Like it was you couldn't see one end or the other. Yeah, you could be on one end and not see the other from curvature of the earth.
Yeah. Well, I won't be buying a Teddy Ruxpin anytime soon.
Not if he can do that.
No.
Suck on your finger and glowy evil eyes.
Ew, oh God.
I still think it'd be fun to hack that thing and put in the Hypnotoad's
eyes. What's funny is I think we all got the same thing and we never... Before we even started talking about it, as soon as I saw that GIF, I went, oh, I can see those eyes go wrong.
Yeah.
Warning.
Yeah,
Craig,
right.
Craig, the next story is for you.
Yes, I love Rick and Morty. I'm obsessed with it. As a matter of fact, got another episode coming on tonight. But this is a funny thing about Rick and Morty, and I think a lot of people already know about this, is, you know, in the first episode of season 3, Rick was going on a little tirade about the Szechuan sauce that McDonald's used to have in 1999 for in promotion for the movie Mulan. Mm-hmm. Well, in the comic, he was lamenting how it just went away and it never came back. And I love the line. He said, "It's my one man arm, Morty, or one arm man, Morty." You know, like he's chasing after it. I'm going to go 9 seasons if we have to get that Szechuan sauce. So he was on a mission to get it. Well, McDonald's heard from all of the viewers that care about Rick and Morty, as well as I think some of even the producers. They've dug out some of the Szechuan sauce out of their vault.
Ew.
Oh, my. Oh, this is almost, it's either holy preservatives that you don't want to eat anyway, or... It's not good anymore.
I'll start reading the article now. But anyway, that's the context of this. So an eBay auction for one of the McDonald's coveted cases, which is a case with a foam inside, like you would put a camera equipment or something like that, Pelican cases. They had a case of that in there, of the now discontinued Szechuan sauce. The auction came to an end. One lucky winner, I don't know about lucky, but paid $15,350 to take hold of the 64-ounce bottle of that sweet, sweet Mulan Szechuan sauce.
Okay, now that does not sound right, the way you just did that, Craig. Please. That and a Teddy Ruxpin sucking on your finger. What's going on with this show?
What's next?
Yes.
Cats and dogs sleeping together.
You ever see the first episode of Black Mirror?
Yeah. The McDonald's chef, Mike Herzat.
What?
Herzat. Ace Bay's name? Anyway, he brought back he brought back the 1989 or 1998 Szechuan sauce to celebrate Rick and Morty's third season. The company sent one bottle to the Rick and Morty, the co-creator Justin Roiland, and gave out three more bottles to fans who retweeted the company during the premiere. Workman, you see, they didn't pay the $15,000. Workman, using his friend Dark Falcon's eBay account, chose to sell his case to settle some bills and help out a couple of charities in the process. So he sold it for $15,000.
Wow.
I didn't know that's how they gave out the other bottles. I would have tweeted it out.
A little late now.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it now. Maybe you'll get one.
Yeah. So
you're going to get a packet.
Yeah.
Like an old ketchup packet that's been sitting in someone's desk.
That's the other funny thing. There were packets of that somebody had, and they went for a lot of money on eBay.
Oh, I'm yikes. Like,
and there's rumors that it is coming back out because they're doing a live action version of Mulan for next year. So I think they're going to redo
which
the sauce.
Which means your $15,000 you just paid is bumpkiss.
Exactly. I know, right?
Well, I have the original.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
But do y'all watch Rick and Morty?
No.
Nope.
Never seen it.
Oh my God.
I'm familiar with it, but I haven't watched it. Never seen it.
Widely popular.
Wildly popular, but no, it's great. It's actually, there's a lot of science stuff to it. So in a way, it's in the same kind of, I'm going to back up. I'm not going to say same kind of wheelhouse. But if you like Futurama, I could totally see you liking this.
I haven't watched Futurama either.
I've seen one or two episodes, and Futurama is actually very funny.
Keith, stand up and leave right now.
I know.
No, but I think it's in that kind of wheelhouse. It's not, you get to see it.
Right, we want to give a shout out to our chat room every Sunday night. Well, the ones where we're
hi, chatters.
Right? On Facebook, 9:30 Eastern time. We are going to, let's see who's out there. We have John Miller Jr. We have Tim Elliott. Good to see him again. Longtime listener, longtime friend of the show. Clinton Alvord. Who else do we have? Craig. I told everybody to give me a wave and I'll give them a shout out. So there may be more.
Right now, there's other ones that they're chatting.
There could be. We'll see. We'll see when they get here. Don't log in.
Technorama. We'll get feedback here.
We have a couple of Remember When stories. Where's our...
Remember When?
We haven't played this song in a while.
No.
We just haven't had Remember When segment for a while. All right. We have some old UK Star Trek comics come out of the woodwork. Now, these are not your standard Star Trek comics.
Oh, that's really going back.
Yeah. Welcome to Comic Book Legends Revealed. This is a 640th week where we examine comic book legends and whether they are true or false.
640th week?
There was an original Star Trek comic strip in England half a year before the show even began airing there.
Huh.
Interesting.
Oh. Airing there.
The status is true for that legend. I held back on this week's Movie Legends Revealed about Spock and Star Trek Generations so that I could tie it in with part two of this week's Comic Book Legends Revealed. As I noted, Comic Book Legends Revealed number 600, it is the second legend featured in that column, where they first made Star Trek comic books in the United States, and they had to work with publicity photos of the show. Ooh, wow. They built the comic around that.
That's 12.
Actually, and a lot of those publicity photos were black and white.
Yeah. That was the same.
That's probably true.
What if you got the uniform colors wrong?
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Like we just saw a little bit ago?
Actually, the comic looks pretty good, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Let's see. That was the same when Star Trek debuted as a featured in Joe 90, a British comic magazine whose lead feature was a strip based on Joe 90, a puppet TV series of the time, created by Jerry Anderson and his TV Century 21 Productions. It was 1969, 3 months before the show was set to debut on English airwaves, so the people involved really didn't know what the strip was about. Well, that's a recipe for success.
Yeah.
Artist Harry Linfield only had publicity photos as well, and So the first storyline was hilarious in that the captain was Kurt.
Captain Kurt.
Captain Kurt.
K-U-R-T. Oh, I am Kurok.
Kurok.
I am Kurt.
I'm a carrot.
Carrot? I'm a carrot. Captain Carrot.
And in the second strip, the Enterprise actually lands on a planet.
I remember that one. I actually saw that.
Well, it happened on Battlestar Galactica in TV.
Voyager did.
25 years later, or 35 years later.
And the only reason it ever landed in the television show is because it was too expensive, but that kind of implies that it had the ability.
Oh, true. Oh, yeah, look, there it is, parked up right next to a building. Hey, well, you remember, can't park that thing
Voyager
here.
Voyager did that. Hey, Voyager
we have a handicap sticker.
Yeah. In an early strip, when he thinks Kirk has been killed, Spock goes off and just wants to waste people. It's pretty awesome.
Wow, because that's the Vulcan thing to do.
How non-emotional.
Logical to me.
It was very. I'm sure he found some way to logically rationalize it.
That's great.
If the captain doesn't live, nobody else does.
That's right.
And if your Szechuan sauce from 1997 wasn't good enough for you, we have food that's even older. Let's take this to
fruitcakes.
Lord.
You know, I'm convinced there's actually only one fruitcake on the planet, and we just keep sending it to our loved ones, and it just makes the rounds.
Well, I'm going to beg to differ because this one's been in hiding for 106 years. It's a good thing scientists weren't especially hungry when they stepped inside the earliest structures built in Antarctica recently. On a shelf in a hut in Cape Adair sat a quote, perfectly preserved fruitcake, apparently untouched for more than a century, reports stuff.co.nz. Made by British label Huntley. That's the way they say it down there.
Yeah.
Made by British label Huntley and Palmer's, the fruitcake was hidden inside a severely corroded tin taken from the hut as part of a conservation project encompassing several old huts. So some guy walks off with some 100-year-old scotch and the other one gets a fruitcake.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, they do have a shelf life of like 300 years.
Yeah, who won in that deal?
What is in those? Is it because I know that honey will last forever.
Yep. A lot of eggs it's and like stuff like that, too.
Bacteria. If it was eggs, it would go bad fast. Well,
it's a lot of dried fruits. And
right.
Fruitcake traditionally is marinated in some kind of
alcohol.
Oh. So it literally preserves.
Sure, it's pickled.
Yeah.
Hey,
exactly.
John Miller says, great, fruitcake with tetanus.
The tetanus fruitcake.
It's the tetanus that makes it taste so good.
Talk about lockjaw.
The fruitcake was.
And it's not just from being tough.
Later on in the article, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they said it smelled terrible, but it was still edible.
Someone actually tasted it?
Oh, here you go.
This is turning out to be one of the most vile episodes we've ever done here.
There were also badly deteriorated meat and fish, sardines, and rather nice-looking jams.
Okay, so I guess in comparison, the fruitcake would be the best.
Here you go. So it said, unfortunately, it didn't smell quite as good with an odor of rancid butter. But it said it did have a... Like new, it said like new and rather tasty.
You can hold your nose while you're eating that.
Someone had to try it.
No, well, but wait a minute. They said that they actually returned all these items. They were just, inventorying them.
Oh, so they're still down there aging.
They put them back. But see, they took it out, took a photo of it. So if they took it, I hope that they kept the temperature correct. Because, you know, you're introducing some bacteria.
Well, been down there for 106 years. If they were inventorying it on site, you're still in the same environment that has been there for a century.
Well, what I'm saying, look at the way that picture is taken. They said they took the items. I have to read it again, but they said they took the items and they went to so I'm like, I'm sure took precautions, but, you know, I think if it would start to warm up, some bacteria could get introduced, and then they would go stick it back.
Like Otzi the Iceman. This is Otzi's fruitcake.
Right. Yes. I don't know.
Yikes and double yikes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
106 Cheers. Wow.
One thing that doesn't make me go yikes is our patrons. We love our patrons. Thank you. The show is brought to you by you. And thank you.
No, I go yikes because people love us. Look at this.
They love us more than they love fruitcake. We'll leave it at that.
Hey, you added another line, didn't you?
Well, we had 14 and we're back to 12. I defragged the table.
I see.
So Ben and Keith, both of you go sign up so we can get back to quota. Yeah.
We have Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Leon, John Noble, Amy
John Noble.
Bowen. Not that John Noble.
How many times have we said that?
Amy Bowen, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Kyle Nishioka, Dennis Patnod, and we want to give
Steve
you a
Therian.
Shout. Not Theremin.
Oh, I have a Theremin sound somewhere.
Hey, why do we just keep the blank line?
Yeah.
What, as growth space?
Why are we keeping the blank line?
Because we'll have another spot filled soon.
TBD. There you go.
Don't bang your microphone.
Yeah. Here's my theremin sound.
If you want to be a patron, Steve, go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast and be a friend of the show.
That's for Steve Theremin. I mean Therian.
That was fun.
I like that.
Let's
we can
go
keep
again.
That in.
You want to go again?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, keep it for next time.
I think we're laughing behind that, but we may take that background and put that in there.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We have just a couple more stories. Media Corner. Where's our Media Corner?
Media Corner.
Over
media,
there.
Media Corner.
Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
And things.
Things. Things.
Media Corner.
And things.
Craig, I'm going to give this one back to you.
Okay. Pass the ball to me.
Okay. What is this, WebEx?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I'll send you I updated the
I made some advancements
the bingo
to
game?
The bingo game. Yeah.
I put it into Word and I mean, it looked uh-huh. nice instead of.
Uh-huh. We're just as geeky. I'm glad to see it. That's the scary.
Play Blackout right. on every call I'm on.
All right. So if you guys like old sci-fi like I do.
Oh,
I
love it.
Yeah, so you can dig into nearly 30 years of free classic
free.
Science fiction. Free. Absolutely free.
Including the old Star Trek comic book?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's see.
No.
So if you're a fan of the classic classic science fiction from the likes of Ray Bradbury, Isaac Asimov, yes. Robert A. Heinlein, you're in luck! Archive.org has a massive collection of the magazine Galaxy Science Fiction. I almost said friction. For you just to peruse for free. The collection has over 350 issues spanning from 1950 to 1976.
Wow.
And even includes early versions of Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, The Fireman, as well as Isaac Asimov's The Case of Steel, Alfred Bester's The Stars, My Destination. While the collection isn't quite the entire run of GSF, it is probably more than sufficient to keep you busy for a while.
Besides, you can't beat free.
No kidding.
No kidding. Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I know on archive.org, I've downloaded some really old stuff. I'm trying to remember what it was, an old science fiction magazine from like the turn of the century. And I'm going to tell you, it was difficult to read because the English was slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like than trying to read
Lovecraft. Lovecraft. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, I had to read a sentence twice, you know. It took me a while to get through it, but it was really cool. I would recommend some of these. This Pulp Fiction was great. I read one where they were in Antarctica and there was ice bugs and the guy was trying to fend them off. It was hilarious. I mean, fun is what I should say.
More science fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pulp science fiction. Right. I love this.
Thank you very much. Hey, we have, this is the part where we sort of push the show notes back from the edge of the table and go freeform.
Freeform.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's like taking the show and going commando.
Yeah.
And how's that different from any other week that we're here?
Ben and Keith were at their first San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Was that a couple weeks ago already?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, because the week after we came back, you were off.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
Okay. And then we couldn't. So, yeah, there was like several weeks in between.
It was in July sometime.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I remember.
It was about three or four weeks ago.
So tell us your experience.
Insane.
Lots of people.
Crazy.
The only thing I can compare it to is my experience with Phoenix Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we got there on Wednesday afternoon, and already the crowds were just nuts by that night. So that comparable to what we see during a heavy day at Phoenix Comic Con. We did have tickets for the dealer's room preview, and we got to enjoy the dealer's room for about 20 minutes.
Yep. We were some of the first in.
20? Oh, you enjoyed it for 20 minutes.
Yeah. And then the crowd hit.
Then everybody else got in there,
and we couldn't enjoy it anymore. It was just crazy.
It was insane. We had we got professional badges because we were on a panel.
Ooh.
And about podcasting of all things. I know nothing about podcasting.
Yeah, I was going to say,
what do I know about podcasting?
Who would ever have us involved about podcasting? That's ridiculous.
Did I learn something?
Yeah.
I was telling people about it. No, it was just a podcasting panel of
Heroes at the mic.
Yep. 40 minutes. And that got us 5 days of passes to San Diego Comic-Con, including mm-hmm. the preview night, which was kind of cool. We did, and then after that was on the first day.
Yeah, by the time we that was the first day. And I remember we got up Thursday morning. I'm thinking, oh, this is really day one. I mean, just that experience on day zero, as I like to call it.
Yeah, because
just so intense.
We did the dealer's room. We picked up our badges, did the dealer's room. And then we had a thing that Tony Kim of Hero Within was having at House of Blues.
At the House of Blues.
It was called the Game of Bloggers. And it was a bunch of people that had blogs and podcasts, et cetera, that were getting together. It was just kind of a get-together mm-hmm. to exchange cards and just socialize. It was a lot of fun.
We made a lot of contacts there.
And then we had our panel on day one.
Well, I do want to say that the registration process at San Diego Comic-Con is one of the most efficient things I've ever experienced. At least it was for us. I mean, the only reason it took me about 90 seconds to get my badge is because it's done in a beautifully molded plastic, and the poor gal who was doing was having a very hard time physically manipulating it. But other than that, the registration process was really fast.
Yeah. Frictionless.
I was very impressed.
Nice.
So what was it? Thursday we did bunch of panels.
You can read our entire live blog at tggeeks.com. We blogged every day. Now, one neat thing is at one point we're just walking down just happened to turn our heads and lo and behold, who we see? Nichelle Nichols.
Saw the picture of that. That is cool. Yeah.
She was just there. So we chatted her up for a little bit. She's frail, but her mind is still pretty sharp. She was just delightful, and we got our picture with her. She was just lovely.
Hey, well, she almost ran me over with a wheelchair at Dragon Con. I heard
there's a very overexposed photo.
Yeah, a bit washed out on that screen. Yeah. Not sure how that's going.
Anyway.
But you can see it at tggeeks.com.
Yep.
And then we had, as I said, we did a bunch of panels. We went to a bunch of panels.
The small ones. We didn't attack any of the
big
ones.
We didn't get to do Hall H or Ballroom 20 or Ballroom 6 or anything, but it was kind of fun. And we did, we met John Barrowman and got to talk to him for a few minutes and got a picture with him.
Neat.
And,
The big thing, that we really got to enjoy was the panel about Robotech.
Yeah.
Now I would say there was one little sidebar to that. Is they announced the new director for it. And for anybody who didn't know what the director was famous for, he is responsible for the new Stephen King movie, It.
Yep.
Oh.
And they showed the new trailer for it. And I'm going to say it scared the crap out of me. That's going to scare people out of their minds.
It is.
Cool.
It looks terrifying. So we got a lot of that, ran a story in that, and that just got huge hits.
Introduced to a bunch of people. One of the perks to having a pro badge is the Pro Lounge, and it's really kind of neat because you can go in there, you get away from the crowd, have a little bit of lemonade, and sit down.
It's It's where all the professionals are and, just lounging around. And, you
and there's
meet
a lot
people.
Of different people. We got introduced Neat. To a bunch of different people there that we made some contacts with through other people that knew them. So,
sure.
And knew us, so that was kind of neat.
And one neat moment is as we were just sitting there, yeah. all of a sudden, someone starts just kind of like mocking us from our behind us. We turn around, and there's Larry Nemechek.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah.
So we chatted him up for a little bit, and it was a great visit.
Yeah, it was a good visit.
It was a very enjoyable convention, but it was an exhausting one. Oh, but we learned a lot about how to approach it.
Handful of cards.
Yeah.
For different people, you know, we made our way around the dealer's room and talked to a bunch of people. Haven't gotten all of the emails out yet.
No. Well, we figured the next time we do it, we'll probably spend an entire week down there.
Yeah.
So that
Did
we
you
can
your
actually.
Thank you cards out?
Pardon?
Okay. Did you send yeah. your thank you cards out?
Yeah.
Oh, and we.
Thank
we,
you cards.
Yeah, our thank you cards. I sent an email to everybody that I get a card from and say, hey, we met at San Diego Comic Con, blah, 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 this and that. And the
don't,
other.
Don't call me again.
And actually, yeah. We've got a future interview coming up that comes out in a couple of weeks, and that actually stemmed from one
actually,
of the contacts.
Tomorrow.
Excellent. It comes out tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow as of
when recording this episode.
Monday the 14th.
Monday the 14th.
Yeah, and that's that, we should, that,
Hannibal Taboo. He's a...
I was thinking of Dr. Evermore, but...
Oh,
but
yeah,
yes,
and then we have
Hannibal
Dr.
Taboo.
Evermore, yeah, so...
Oh, and speaking... Chuck, go ahead, Greg.
We're going to have to beat the bushes a little bit more this year since we don't have the parsecs or anything like that.
I think so. Yeah. And speaking of follow-ups, we did the interview with the group from the 60-yard line
at
Phoenix Comic-Con.
Yeah. You're right.
That movie is now being released.
Yeah, I saw your post on that.
It's not a global release, but it's a big release. So I'm very excited for those guys. They will be releasing it at, what was it, New York Comic Con first? And then it will be around the Midwest in various theaters. So,
yeah.
Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, in that area. And you'll be able to find it. The 60yardline.com is where you can find out more information about that. So, very excited for Ryan and the crew out there.
Yeah. So, and just a little thing, not related to Phoenix Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con, but a film that we have been co-executive producers on. We just won an award at the Rhode Island Film Festival at the U.S. premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And the director got the Flickers Ambassador Award. And the award is presented to a filmmaker who inspires and empowers communication and cultural understanding.
And this is one of those film festivals that is considered to be sort of a qualifier for the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it was a short film.
Yeah.
So.
These guys are moving up.
No kidding. Yeah. We need to catch up.
I just look at it like, hey, my kids are better off than I am.
Come on, Ben and Keith.
We don't have any
kids.
We have cats.
Yeah.
So,
are you talking about Ben and Keith?
Pardon?
You're talking about Ben and Keith as your kids or your
right.
kids?
Right. Also on the recent events calendar, Craig, you went and got to see MST3K live in their closing show in Atlanta, Georgia. How was that?
Yes, it was great. And I won't go too deep into it because it mirrors a lot of what you experienced while when you talked about it. The EGA movie was great. The secret movie. I don't know. The live show's not on anymore, but I don't know if I should really say what it was. But,
go for it. This isn't coming out for a few more days.
That's true. It was... now that's gone to mind. It was about this. It's an Italian movie that takes place in England.
You sent it to me on like a Facebook message, dude.
I know. Let me finish talking. So it's an Italian movie that takes place in England, and which is funny. They give like the hovercraft that they use in the thing. They give it a credit at the beginning of the whole movie, but it's Argo Man, the Fantastic Superman. That's the title. And it is horrible. Oh my God, it was horrible. But it was funny. So the guy's like this playboy womanizer in the 60s. I think they said they filmed this in 1967 or something. And it's, yeah, there were some lines that were just classic. And Grant Bachoco, our friend of the show, mm-hmm. our buddies for a long time, he told us, he said, all right, the secret movie, he said, as a fan of this show, it's almost a classic. I mean, it's right up there. It's one of the best MST3Ks. That he had been a part of or seen rather. So I would say it was great. And I hope that they release that on DVD or something, to kind of go along with the new season. But yeah, the guy would, he had like a full suit on and he went to change his uniform and he rips like from the collar.
Yeah.
And you see a little bit of yellow from his suit. And then they cut over to the lady. And as soon as they cut back, he's like in full costume, like, you know, stupid cuts like that.
Oh boy.
And yeah, he's using his powers. And
but you also saw some people down there. You met up with,
Jonathan Strickland. I saw him, briefly.
Well, who did you share the hotel room with?
Oh yeah. And JT Shea, my buddy. That's actually the first time I ever met him in person, you know? So, which is kind of cool.
I thought we'd met him before, but you're right.
Yeah. So this is the first time. And so he came into town, we shared the hotel room and went to the show. And if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have gone to the second show and would have kicked myself in the butt for missing it. But he was like, I'm going to both shows and we're sharing a room. You ought to just, you know, we ought to go both go to it. So, he got tickets. We got tickets and my son went as well. So it was myself, Harrison, and JT. And we just died laughing. Harrison was belly laughing at some of that stuff. It was just fantastic. And everything, I think you alluded to this, you weren't quite sure, or you thought that the shadow part where they're sitting.
Right, because they'd come out and do this live thing in front of the stage where they do the skits, yeah, and they have the giant EGA puppet and whatnot. And it wasn't until Grant had released some pictures on Facebook in the last couple of days that he had behind the scenes. He would take a picture from sitting in the wings and you could see the puppeteers behind the desk. Yes. And I told him, my caption on that was, "You've ruined my childhood."
Yeah. But the shadow work.
Behind the shadow work, you know, where you see the silhouette of the puppet. That was all done live at every show.
Oh my
Lord. Yeah. So they would run behind the movie screen and get in there and do the show.
They could have pre-recorded that and just been sitting back there sipping Ractagino for, you know, 45 minutes.
Nobody would have.
I wish
known.
We'd seen it when it came to here to the Orphan.
Klingon coffee.
I wish we could have seen it when it came to the Orphan, but the timing was just wrong.
Oh, it was like either right before or right as we came back from something.
Yeah, we just couldn't do it.
We're just too busy.
And it was a lot of fun. Maybe they'll do it again next year. I got a poster over here that needs framing.
And Grant broke out Waverly for a little bit during the show.
That's what that little robot's name was. I forgot.
Yeah, Waverly. Actually, I think he may have been doing the same thing with that he was doing at your show, Chuck, while I was waiting in the merchandise line.
Mm-hmm.
And JT goes, "Oh, there's Grant right there." And he was talking to people in the line as they were buying their stuff. And he had Waverly out there with him. And that's where I got my picture with him.
Fun.
Yeah. That was one of the things that at San Diego Comic-Con, there was some of the celebrities were making the rounds of the different lines on Hall H lines. We had just gotten on the trolley to go back to where we were staying.
Yeah.
And I looked on Twitter, and as we had walked by the Hall H line, we'd been at Larry Nemechek's Portal 47 thing.
And the Hall H line was massive.
Oh, it was
because
this was massive.
Yeah, this was Friday night. They're getting ready for a big, big Saturday Hall H event. So the line was like snaking all over the place outside.
And
who should appear?
Camp out overnight. Andy Serkis was making the rounds on the line as we walked by.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
And pretty I didn't know cool. until we got on the trolley.
Oh. Don't you hate that when somebody says, "Hey, so and so just walked by." We're like, "Why didn't you say something?"
What? Yeah, that happened several times to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that brings us to near the end of the show. We just have one question of the week for you this week. If you could send a note to your younger self, what would you send?
Invest in Google.
Here's four stocks to invest in.
Plastics.
Here's when you dump Yahoo and buy Google.
Yeah. Buy Apple in 1978.
Yeah.
Oof. So we'll leave you with that question. We also have our Patreon topic for our patrons that we're going to be discussing. What made you realize you're not a kid anymore?
Oh, dear.
When I first started reading this, I thought it was going to be, what made you realize you're a geek?
That
could be another episode. Okay, we already got a topic for the next one.
That's the next one. So if you want to hear that content, it's available exclusive to our patrons on Patreon. Go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast and you can hear that. Couple of quick announcements. Craig and I will be at Dragon Con with Clinton doing Comedy Forecast and Technorama and Friends, and we don't know the room yet.
No.
It's like 2 weeks till Dragon Con, and we still don't know our schedule.
So keep a track or keep a watch on our Twitter and Facebook.
Yes.
Because as soon as we know, we'll put it out there.
Yep. And if you're listening to Dog Days of Podcasting, you probably know there as well. That's sort of like a daily update of everything between Clinton's daily podcast and Craig and me. DogDaysOfPodcasting.com. Ding. Ding. Where is it? Ding. There it is.
Yep.
And another announcement.
Wrong button. There we go.
PIY, Podcast It Yourself, is happening October 28th in Phoenix, Arizona. T. Morris is coming into town. We are doing a launch party of the book with a four-hour workshop.
Point behind
with
you.
Three tracks, three sessions in each track, hardware, software, accessories, best practices, you name it. The two gentlemen knocked over my water bottle as I was gesticulating, pointing towards the two gentlemen at the end of the table. They will be joining us as part of the panels, part of the hosting. It's going to be a great time. We are limited in space, so don't delay. Go over to meetup.com and look for Podcast It Yourself, or send us a message. We'll help you get there before it fills up. We are just finishing the last of the speaker spots, so we are very excited. I wanted to get that rocking and rolling before Wyoming, before Dragon Con, because it'd
be rocking and rolling before Wyoming.
That kind of rhymes. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
So those are our big announcements. We did mention Dog Days of Podcasting at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. If you aren't subscribing and listening to the Mondo feed, there's a lot of good content out there. A lot of people having fun. Golf clap. Call us on the listener line if you have any comments about this show, or you just want to say hi. You want to make sure that the listener line is still working. 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you. You can also reach us at Technorama Podcast, or excuse me, is it Technorama at checkedout.com? But I think we still own Technorama Podcast at gmail.com. I don't know why that was slipping out.
Yeah, that one's in there.
Go to Facebook, Twitter, you know, just go to our website.
The and Facebook find us. And the Twitters. And
thank you very much, Ben and Keith, for being part of the show.
Thank you. Our pleasure. Always a pleasure.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Come over and hijack the show anytime you want, as long as I'm here. Love how the sound effects are louder than the background music, and I'm running the mixer.
And whose fault is that?
We can fix that.
Yeah. Turn me down.
Tell a friend about Technorama. Share this video if you like it on Facebook or YouTube. And as always, Craig, give me a binary high five.
Ooh, 101.
I'm going to go with this one.
101.
There you go.